I'd like to thank each and every one of you for meeting with us today and by way of the internet as we are practicing social distancing and for the well-being of ourselves and others. And I sure am glad that we can meet together, though, by the way of the internet and through sermon audio. And I'm also thankful for this time that we can worship together and serve the Lord. Brother Jonathan, you come pray for us.
Heavenly Father, Lord, just thank you for the time that you've given us to worship you, Lord, and just ask you to be with our pastor, Lord, given the message to bring to us, Lord. I pray you tune our ears and prick our hearts where needed. And Father, I pray, Lord, that you would just bless him and protect him and his family, Lord. And just thank you for everything that you've done for us. In Christ's name we do pray. Amen.
In the distance, I can see the storm clouds coming my way. And I need to find a shelter before it starts to rain. So I turn and run to you, Lord. You're the only place to go, where unfailing love surrounds me when I need him most. You're my hiding place, safe in your embrace. I'm protected from the storm that rages. When the waters rise and I run to hide, Lord, in you I find my hiding place. I'm not asking you to take away my troubles, Lord, 'cause it's through the stormy weather I learn to trust you more. And I'm thankful for the promise that I have come to know, that unfailing love surrounds me when I need him most.
You're my hiding place, safe in your embrace. I'm protected from the storm that rages. When the waters rise and I run to hide, Lord, in you I find my hiding place.
So let your people seek you while you may be found, 'cause you're our only refuge when the rain comes pouring down.
You're my hiding place, safe in your embrace. I'm protected from the storm that rages. When the waters rise and I run to hide, Lord, in you I find my hiding place.
Amen. Amen. I sure do appreciate the good singing today, and I trust it's been a blessing to your heart, and we sure do praise the Lord. Thank you for your faithfulness to him. I'd like to thank Brother Jonathan Wall for his message this morning. It was a blessing to my heart, and I know it was a blessing to yours as well. Last Sunday afternoon, we asked the question, what do I need from Jesus? In Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we read of many people who came to Jesus because they had a need in their life. We are living in a time of great need. Health needs and material needs are at the top of everyone's list. I'm glad that we have the promise from the Lord that he will supply all our needs. I'm glad that he knows what I have need of and that he is able to supply for all my needs. But we must be reminded that man's greatest need is the need for salvation. The Bible says, for all have sinned. And in Romans 6:23, it says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. The only remedy for sin is the blood of Jesus. Hebrews 9:22 tells us, "And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission." What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my pardon, this I see, nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my cleansing, this my plea, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing can my sin erase, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Naught of works, 'tis all of grace, nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my hope and peace, nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my righteousness, nothing but the blood of Jesus. In Ephesians 2:8-9, it says, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." You see, you cannot save yourself, but thank God He made a way for all to be cleansed. If you would, if you're following along in your Bible, I invite you to turn to John chapter 3. John chapter 3. We'll begin our reading in verse 16, a very familiar verse. But John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." John 3:16 is one of the most well-known verses in the Bible. But have you ever took the time to read the verses found right before then in verses 14 and 15? You see, in John chapter 3, Jesus is speaking with a religious man named Nicodemus. Nicodemus was a ruler of the Jews. Nicodemus was a good man. He was a religious man. He was a pillar of the community. He was a man who, from the outward appearance, had it all together. But Jesus is going to make him aware of his greatest need. If you're following along in John chapter 3 and verse 3, it says, "Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Up to this point, Nicodemus had placed his trust in the fact that he would make it to heaven based on his good works and on his observance of the law. But Jesus tells him that he must be born again. You see, Nicodemus's greatest need was that of salvation. He needed forgiveness of his sins, and only Jesus could meet his greatest need. In verses 14 and 15, Jesus will reference an Old Testament story that Nicodemus knew very well. Let's read verses 14 and 15 in John chapter 3. "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have eternal life." Jesus is referencing a passage found in Numbers chapter 21. He's going to make reference to a very particular sin that's found in that passage, which is the sin of speaking against God, or the sin of complaining. How many of us have ever been guilty of the sin of complaining, murmuring against God?
complaining about our circumstances, complaining about our leaders, or complaining even about the weather. Maybe you have complained about the circumstances that we're facing as a nation. In Numbers 21, this is exactly what the children of Israel were doing. They had become discouraged because of the difficulty of their journey. You know, the times that we're living in are hard. They're difficult. Our habits and our routines have been altered. And life itself has become more complicated and even more dangerous. But we must exercise great caution in how we respond in these difficult times. You see, discouragement can happen to anyone. But it's not okay to complain or to murmur or to speak against God. I believe we could all say that we've been discouraged at some point or another in our life. Maybe things did not turn out the way we thought they should, or maybe people have disappointed us along the way. But how we respond in those discouraging times will have a great impact on us and those around us. You see, outwardly, Nicodemus seemed to be all right. He was a religious man. He was a good man. But he had a need. And only Jesus could satisfy his greatest need: to be born again. Jesus is going to point out the fact that Nicodemus was not as good as he thought he was, and that he too needed forgiveness. There was only one way to be born again. The Bible says, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." If you would, turn to Numbers chapter 21. Numbers chapter 21. We'll begin reading in verse 4. Numbers 21 and verse 4, it says, "And they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom. And the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. And the people spake against God and against Moses, 'Wherefore have ye brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth this light bread.' And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, 'We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he may take away the serpents from us.' And Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said unto Moses, 'Make thee a fiery serpent and set it upon a pole. And it shall come to pass that every one that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live.' And Moses made a serpent of brass and put it upon a pole. And it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived." You see, in our passage, the children of Israel had become discouraged, by the difficulties of their circumstances. They'd become discouraged from this bread that they did not appreciate. This bread called manna that had been given to them by the Lord. And instead of responding in faith and being thankful for the provisions of God, they spoke against the Lord. They complained against God and against the leader that God had provided for them. We live in a society today that encourages everyone to say whatever comes to their mind. And there seems to be very little consequences at the time. But I want to remind you that there is a God in heaven who hears every word and knows our every thought. You may have never expressed your complaint outwardly, but even the inward thought of complaining or speaking against God is known to Him. Matthew 12:36 says, "But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment." You see, Nicodemus may have appeared to be okay on the outside, but on the inside he had a need. Just like Nicodemus and everyone else in the world, we've all been guilty of complaining at some point in our life. Therefore, we have all sinned against a holy and righteous God, and we too need forgiveness. The Lord heard the complaining of the children of Israel. Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." The story in Numbers 21 is a good example of the meaning of Romans 6:23. The children of Israel sinned against God, so the Lord sent poisonous serpents, and the people were bit, and many died. Sin will take you further than you ever thought you'd go. Sin will cost you far more than you ever thought you'd pay. And sin will keep you longer than you ever thought you'd stay. The people then turned to Moses, excuse me, and acknowledged the fact that they had sinned against God and Moses. But there's a problem. They didn't just say we sinned, but now they offer God their own solution for their demise. In verse 7 of Numbers 21, it says, "Therefore the people came to Moses and said, 'We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee.'" And here's the solution they offer: "Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us." The problem with this solution was that there was no hope for those who had been bit and were still alive. They were still under the condemnation of their sins. They were still under a death sentence. But the Lord would give them hope. He provided them with only one way to be healed and live. Remember, Romans 6:23 does not end with, "For the wages of sin is death." If the verse ended with those words, then there would be no hope. But the verse goes on to say, "But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Their solution offered no hope for those who had sinned and were bitten. Their solution may have seemed religious. "Hey, pray for us and tell God to remove the snakes." But just being religious could not spare them or anyone else from the wages of sin, which is death. The Lord had Moses make a serpent of brass and put it on a pole, and all who looked at the serpent lived. For them, there was only one way to be saved from their sin. Only one way. And for us, there is only one way for us to be saved from our sin today. We have all sinned, and the wages of sin, of our sin, is death. I'm not just talking about a physical death, but an everlasting life in a place called hell. I do not wish for anyone to go to that place of eternal torment. And neither does the Lord. The Bible says in 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long suffering toward usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. What did God want from Israel? He wanted that they look and live. God gave to them the only solution that was the only remedy to avoid the wages of their sin. All they had to do was by faith believe what God had said and look to the serpent that Moses had placed on a pole, and they would live, and the condemnation would be removed. God tells us in Romans 8:1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Jesus paid the penalty for your sins and for mine. There is therefore now no condemnation. I like that word now. That means immediately. Just like every Israelite who simply believed what God said and looked upon the serpent on the pole was spared from the wages of their sin, we too are immediately forgiven and spared from an eternal condemnation in hell the moment that we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. Romans 10, verses 9 through 13, it says, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Nicodemus in John chapter 3 will put his faith in Jesus, and he will be born again. I would like to ask the question again. What do I need from Jesus? If you've trusted Jesus as your Savior, then you have the promise that he will supply your needs. But if you find yourself like Nicodemus, maybe your greatest need is to be born again. Your greatest need is that of salvation. Then I urge you to not delay, to accept Jesus as your Savior today. Would you admit to the Lord that you're a sinner and that you need his forgiveness, believing that Jesus died in your place to pay the penalty for your sins, that he was buried and rose again for your justification? Would you by faith trust in Jesus alone as your Savior and receive his gift of eternal life? The Bible says, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now, that means immediately, is the day of salvation. Please do not reject the only remedy for your greatest need. And we have the promise given to those who would call upon the name of the Lord and be saved. It says in John 1:12, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. For the Israelites, they had to believe what God had said. Look and live. For Nicodemus to be born again,
He had to put his faith in what God said. And he had to put his faith in the fact that Jesus died on the cross for his sins. Nicodemus will accept that. And we see it through the testimony of his life that's given to us in the scriptures. But I must ask you today, if you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, why would you put that off? You have a need. We've all sinned. We've all complained. We've all complained against the provisions that God has given us. The only reason any one of us are alive today is because God allowed us to wake up. He's given us this life. And what are we doing with the life that God has given us? If we've complained about this life, then we've complained against God. Therefore, we qualify, for all have sinned. And the wages of sin is death. But thank God there's a gift. Thank God there's a remedy for that. And it's by faith we trust Jesus as our Savior. He did enough on the cross of Calvary to forgive us and give us eternal life. No amount of religion or good works will save you. Only Jesus can save you. Only Jesus can meet your greatest need and give eternal life. Why not trust Him today?